Hope you've had a great morning so far. It was good to be together in worship. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. We'd like to find out who is in worship today. And the way we do that, there are pew pads that you'll find on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could help us out by giving us your name, checking off the correct boxes, giving us any updated contact information. Then once you're done, if you could send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out on your pew, that would be very helpful. Once it gets to that last person, if you could start it back down the pew to where it got started, we do ask that first person, when it comes back to you, if you would tear out those pages at the end, or so our ushers can pick those up at the end of the service. Thank you for that. Several announcements we'll make about schedule. Today during worship, we're going to have a children's time, so inviting all the kids to come right down here with me for just a few moments. Also, at the end of the service, if you bought a poinsettia, they are free to be taken. If you bought one, the decoration committee will be here to get them down for you, so make sure you get those before you leave today because nobody will be here to water them this week. So make sure you do that. Let's see. There are only a few things listed under your opportunities for the week. Just so you'll know, office is closed on Monday, and then there are no family night activities on Wednesday. And next Sunday's schedule is a little bit different because it's New Year's Day. We will have no 9 o'clock service, but there will be 9:45 for Sunday school and then 11 o'clock worship, but the worship will be in Smith Hall. So just make that adjustment for next week. Yes, that's good. Okay, so make sure you make that adjustment. We did just get the total for the Christmas offerings that we take up. We have a goal of $25,000 for Lottie Moon and our CBF Global Missions. And as of this morning, we are at $18,256. That is a great jump from where we were last week, and we still got time to get that up to $25,000. So thank you so much for everybody who was able to be a part of that. Anything else? Wow, when Trey and Spencer wear ties, it is a big day. Y'all look good. We do want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. If you're a guest, we'd like to give something to you. We appreciate you giving us information a few moments ago on the pew pad. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are. Ushers will recognize you as they come back down the aisles now. Inside this packet of information, you'll find our letter from our pastor welcoming you to our congregation. Also, you'll find a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our church and a little bit of the story of College Park. So we are blessed by your presence today. There is no holier, more holy time other than Easter than Christmas Day. And to think about what that night had to have been like, and the craziness of Bethlehem. Everybody's in town, back for the census. There's not a hotel room to be found. Joseph and Mary go to a lowly stall where the donkeys and the sheep, and there our Savior is born. So much that we have to be thankful for, that we so often forget in the busyness of this season, is that God lowered himself to show us how much he loves us. That's why we worship today. Let us prepare for worship.
Thank you.
Invite you to turn in your bulletin to our response. See it printed there. And I invite you to read the dark print aloud after I read the light print. All God's people, boys and girls, women, men, come and worship. Shepherds, magi, saints, and angels, come and worship. Come and worship. All who need the Savior, all who long for comfort, come and worship. Come and worship Christ, the newborn King. Let's pray together. Father, every time we come into your presence, we can feel your holiness. And especially on this day, when we celebrate Jesus' birth, it can overwhelm us if in our minds we put ourselves there in the stable next to the manger and to see your Son born to give us life. Father, we have so much to celebrate. The gifts that you have given overwhelm us. They overwhelm us so often that we forget where they come from, because you give and you give and you give and you give. Remind us this morning. You give because you love us. You give because you have a purpose for us. You gave Jesus for us. And so we come to worship. We bow in his presence, thanking you for your love and your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hail, hail to the newborn King. Let our voices sing him our praises. Hail, hail to the guiding light that brought us tonight to our Savior. Hallelujah. Child so dear, cast aside your fear and be thankful. Hail, hail to the newborn King. Let our voices sing him our praises. Hail, hail to the guiding light that brought us tonight to our Savior. Hail, hail to the guiding light that brought us tonight to our
come on down. Y'all come on down. I'll teach you. Come right here. Come right here. Right here. Right here. My goodness. Did everybody get new clothes for Christmas? Everybody looks so good. How is everybody? Did you have a good morning? Did somebody come see you? Yes. What did you get? Presents? Where's my present? I don't get a present? It's under my tree. It's under my tree at home. Okay. Hey, does everybody have a tree at your house? Do you have decorations on the tree? Yes. Did you help put up the tree? Okay. Did you? But you have all kinds of decorations on your tree, right? Now, this is a different kind of tree. This is called a chrismon tree. Does anybody know what chrismon means? Anybody? Choir, I'm not calling on y'all, okay? Anybody? What do you think? No, not really. It's just different. Just different. Okay, chrismon is short for Christ monogram, okay? This was a pastor in about 1940 came up with this idea of having a tree at his church with different kind of decorations on it. Do you know what a cymbal is? Do you know what a cymbal? What is a cymbal? Not a drum cymbal, but what is a cymbal? It means something, okay? So that pastor came up with an idea of symbols that mean something about Christ. Christ, mon, chrismon, okay? That's how we get the word. And so all of these ornaments have a meaning, every one of them. And there's so many, we're not going to be able to talk about all of them, but there's just a few I wanted to point out. What does this look like? A crown, okay? What do you think? King of Kings. There you go. Very good. Let's see. Oh, what about this one? Does anybody know what that, what does that look like? Bryson? There's a cross on top of, it looks like a bell. That's exactly right. That is Christ, the cross on top of the world. Jesus came to save the world. Okay? So that's the meaning of that. Let's see. What else? And we've got different kinds of crosses on here. Oh, there, oh, what's that? Fish. Why do you think the fish is on here? Fishers of men. Very good. All right. Symbol of Christianity. It's a fish. Now, this is one of my favorites right here. Now, can everybody see that? All right. What does that look like? It looks like a P and an X. It means pastor. It could. That's close. But actually, these are not English letters. These are Greek letters. Okay? Does anybody know what?
The last letter of the alphabet is the one that contains the X.
Well, you're close. You're talking about Alpha and Omega? You're close. Omega. This is, see the X? That is the Greek word for Christ. Begins with the Greek letter chi, okay? And it looks like an X. And the second letter for Christ is what looks like a P, and it's called a rho. It's called chi rho, okay? And that just became an early symbol for Jesus Christ, okay? So that you learned how to spell Jesus in Greek this morning. Starts with chi, and what's the next letter? Which is rho. Chi rho. Good. All right. Let's see. Now, this last one, I think it's one of my favorites. The decoration committee does such a good job putting this together. Where did it go? Well, there's a lot of them, but right here, what is that? Star. Why is a star on the tree? How did the shepherd... Absolutely. And the wise men, they followed the star. So everything that's on here, and there's so many more, it means something. There's a meaning behind it. And the reason I like the star is I'm reminded that God showed the people the way to Jesus by using what? The star. This morning, we need to be thankful. I hope that you're thankful for all that God has given to you. You know, you got presents this morning. You might get more presents this afternoon. But you know what? Are you all getting presents this afternoon? Yes. Okay. At my house, we didn't have enough time to get through all the presents. So this is halftime, right? We're going to do all the rest of the presents afterwards. But today, when you go home and you're opening those presents, I want you to think about that night when Jesus was born and the symbol, the star that God used to remind all those people how much that God loves them. When you see that star, I want you to remember how much God loves you because he sent Jesus to Bethlehem. That's why we celebrate Christmas. Did you know you could learn so much from a chrismon tree? That's a lot of stuff up there, isn't it? A lot of stuff. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for all the ways you try to get our attention, to remind us of the truth about Jesus. All the different ways, these symbols that we have on the chrismon tree, remind us of the truth of your love. Help us to remember that presents are fun and great, but really, Jesus is why we are here. Thank you for what we learned about the chrismon tree this morning, and may it make us closer to you in Jesus' name. Amen. And have a Merry Christmas. You can go back to your seat now.
Our scripture text for this morning comes from the Gospel of John, in the first chapter of John, beginning in the first verse. If you don't have your Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible located close by. From John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you join me in prayer? Dear Lord, what a blessing to be in your house on Christmas Day, the day that we celebrate the birth of your Son and our Savior. Lord, we've had so many reminders during Advent of your love for us. And in this hour of worship, we're reminded in song. We're reminded in the lesson of the chrismon tree and seeing these precious children up here, of exactly how much you do love us and the gift that you gave us through your Son. Jeff said it well, Lord, we are overwhelmed by your blessings and your gifts and your love in our lives. And I started to say that we're so overwhelmed we don't know where to begin, but in fact we do know where to begin and we also know where to end, and that's with Jesus Christ, your Son, that you gave for us. We can't even almost understand why you did this, because it's a kind of love that is almost beyond our comprehension, Lord. But you've touched us in a special way through Jesus to allow us to have enough understanding that you did this for us, not because of who we are, but because of who you are. that you created us and you fulfilled the promise that we would be children of God, to be able to call on the name of Jesus Christ, to be able to have an eternal home with you, and to be able to live a life here on earth that has far greater meaning than material things and the things of this world. Lord, on Christmas Day, I thank you for each person here. I thank you for our church family, our extended family, our community of faith. As we think back, Lord, over the last year and all the things that have happened in our individual lives, we are overwhelmed at the way that you've loved us, the way that you've remained faithful to us every day. On great days when we experienced the fullness of your blessing and we were overwhelmed with joy. On difficult days when we were overwhelmed with sadness or grief or something that certainly didn't feel like a blessing because it was tragedy or loss or struggle or stress or pain in our lives, you never went anywhere. You carried us through. You continued to love us no matter what was going on, to love us in all things. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that the Jesus Christ that you gave to us as a gift is the same Christ that has been the Savior of humans for centuries and will continue to be. Is the same Jesus Christ for people in Winston-Salem and on the other side of the world, the same Jesus Christ for people who are rich and people who are poor. We thank you that you've given us, Lord, the greatest gift. And please help us as we celebrate Christmas here in this hour of worship, as we go with our families, and as we go wherever we may go this season, that we will take the spirit of Christmas and the spirit of Christ with us so that your light may shine brighter than ever in the coming days. Because we want everyone, Lord, to know the kind of light, the kind of love that you have blessed us with. It is in your Son's name that we pray and praise you on Christmas Day and every day. Amen.
Will you pray with me? Our Father, we are so grateful to be here this morning in your house on this very special day. We thank you for this privilege, and we thank you for the many gifts that you have lavished upon us. Father, help us to be humble in receiving these gifts and generous in sharing them with others. Help us to treasure your gifts of hope and peace and joy and love. And may we always think of the Christ child in the manger with awe, with joy, and with gratitude. Father, we celebrate the birth of your Son and thank you that you love us so much that you sent him to redeem us. Father, help us to follow your example of love, compassion, and generosity with those around us. We pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Today, the glory of God shines everywhere for all of the world. Jesus, born on this day, He is our light and salvation. Jesus, born on this day, He is the King of all nations. Behold, the Lamb of God has come. Behold, the Savior is born. Sing of His love to everyone. Jesus, born on this day, heavenly child in a manger. Our Lord and our Savior. Today our hearts rejoice in Him. Salvation. Oh, Jesus, born on this day, He is the King of all nations. Today, a child is born on earth. Day. He is light, He is love, He is grace, born on Christmas Day. He is light, He is love, He is grace, born on Christmas Day. He is light, He is love, He is grace, born on Christmas Day.
Choir, how many Christmas cards you get this year? Lots? How many did you mail? Lot? Well, the post office is dependent on you. You need to mail those Christmas cards. If you haven't mailed them yet, we've received a lot of Christmas cards. Every year we look forward to one particular Christmas card because it comes from a friend of ours in East Flat Rock, and it's a long tradition, started some 25 years ago. A fellow named Arlen, that his goal in life, among others, but one of his goals in life is to make sure that his Christmas card that he sends to you is the first one you receive. And in order to achieve that, he mails them like 2 days before Thanksgiving. So I'm not kidding. And about maybe the second year we were here in Winston-Salem, I called him like 2 days after Thanksgiving and said, Arlen, I got bad news, buddy. Two Christmas cards beat yours here. And it threw him into a frenzy. He didn't know how to deal with life. And then I told him, I'm just kidding, man. Your card got, it was the first one, man. I just lighten up. But Christmas cards are one of those things. I love getting them, and we read every single one of them. And we really appreciate the messages that are printed on the card as well as those that are handwritten in. Because Christmas is one of those times of year where where people tend to open themselves up a little bit more, don't we? Where sometimes we kind of let down the barriers a little bit more during this time of year because we realize what really the meaning of the season is. And I suspect all of us get a lot of Christmas cards. You know, you have some that are cute. Some are somewhat affectionate and open and honest. And some have like teddy bears. Others have candy canes. Others have like stockings and stuff like that on it. But a large number of them that we get have something on the front that's kind of related to the nativity, right? I mean, it has the nativity scene kind of etched in there or painted out, sometimes watercolor type images, and you see the stable, and you see the oxen, you see the sheep and the shepherds kind of leaning on their crooks, and kind of three figures there that look very golden or like they're kings or something like that, and then you have angels hovering over the scene, kind of blowing golden trumpets or doing like this, like they're saying glory to God. You have all of those, and then in the center of the image, you have Mary, Joseph, and the baby with usually this kind of golden halo light around them, right? You know, and we cherish the story. We heard it read by Sam last night, and we cherish the story and the panorama that makes it vivid for us. It makes it very, very meaningful. But I wonder if those of us who encounter Christmas in this way, year in and year out, I wonder if we really see and hear the message afresh. Indeed, I wonder if we really open ourselves up to receive the new world that Christ Jesus announced. The new world that Christ Jesus announces by our cards and our carols and last night by the giving, the sharing of the light. And I ask these questions because John, the most profound of our evangelists, at least in my opinion, includes two striking allusions as he begins his reflection on the meaning of Jesus. Jason read it a few minutes ago, but let me repeat verses 10 and 11, where we'll kind of focus this morning. Beginning in verse 10, it says, "He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. But the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, but his own people did not accept him." The world did not know him or accept him. And I have to say, are you kidding me? Why not? I mean, they've been looking forward to the Messiah. It had been prophesied. Any good Jew should have known. They should have been looking for him. They should have recognized him, right? I believe that the Christmas event, for all of the beautiful cards and lovely aesthetic decorations and gorgeous music, provides a crisis of recognition, if you will. I believe that what most of us hope for in a Savior is not what we get. I believe that what we look for, what we expect, what we want in a Christ frequently blinds us to the Christ, the real Christ, the one who really comes. And I'm persuaded that those of us in Christian ministry are among the most sadly deceived, unfortunately. He came to what was his own, but his own people did not accept him. Why? Why is that? Maybe it's because this word became flesh. Maybe it's because this word became flesh, comes to us, and we don't recognize him because he may be a little bit outside the box that we want to paint for him. He comes as one who had no place to lay his head. He seeks a home among us, but he cannot find one. This strange image of a homeless Savior pervades the New Testament, really all of his life. You look at the Gospels illustrated from the very beginning. As you see it and as we read it, there's no acceptance, there's no security, there's no home. Luke makes it pretty clear. You know, in his reference, he tells us quite bluntly that Jesus comes into the world in a stable because there was what? There was no room, there was no place for him in the inn. But Matthew offers a more vivid account in some ways. You have that splendid narrative that we read this time of year about the Magi, right? They followed the star. They arrived at the manger. They had their offerings of gold and frankincense and myrrh. But the telling of that story comes couched in a storytelling of Herod's outright rejection of this Jewish Messiah. Herod sends those magi as informers. He sends them as spies because he wants to kill him. And no sooner is Jesus born in the outbuildings of a Bethlehem inn than his little family has to flee the country. We don't read that part very often. Can you imagine that? You know, out dodging the Roman patrols, struggling in the bleak desert night. This husband, this wife, this child, they're refugees. And that's how Jesus spent some of the first months, days of his life. On the run, homeless. He came to what was his own, but his own people did not accept him. Not only is this crisis of recognition at his birth, it kind of goes through his entire ministry. Think about his parables, for example. His parables confront us with a world that is so different from the one that we support with our taxes, a world so different from the imperialism, the militarism, the greed that we nourish and encourage, a world that is so different that it would be virtually unrecognizable. Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. You remember that? We all know the story of the Good Samaritan, right? But he's telling the story to national chauvinists. He's telling it to ethnic elites, political and religious insiders who believe their closed circle to be special, who see no good coming from anything beyond their own taste and their own class. They ask the question, who's my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And they ask the question convinced that the neighbor, of course, will look like who? Them, yeah. Yeah. And what neighbor does Jesus give them? An enemy. An outsider. An outsider. An alien. One whom they consider to be foreign to their own land. A Samaritan. A Samaritan comes and saves that insider lying in the ditch when those that look like the insider, talk like the insider, think like the insider, pray like the insider, pass right by their own. That parable falls on stunned and disbelieving ears, unable to embrace the saving truth outside of themselves. They just don't get it. And if the crisis at our Lord's birth and in his ministry, if that stirs us, if that disturbs us, it's really nothing compared to the crisis of identity surrounding his death. Simply put, we couldn't fit him into the categories that we believe to be appropriate. So we rose up against him. I say we because I'm not sure we would have done any differently. He defies containment in orthodox dogma or institution. I couldn't figure him out. He refuses to indulge in the religious sentimentality. He made friends with what his compatriots considered to be social scum. Extortionist, the disabled and the mentally ill. As for his patriotism, he refused to surrender loyalty to the imperial designs of the oligarchs and the sellouts among his own people. His activities did not make him a popular guy, to say the least. It kind of triggered a special committee on unorthodox and anti-Roman activities. That's my title. What was their verdict? We need to kill this guy. We need to get rid of him. He came to what was his own, but he was unrecognized. He was driven into a far country. He was refused a home, even among his own people. So what does this mean for us today? I think his observation kind of strikes a note with me. I hope it does with you. Because whom do we expect this Christmas day? What do we want at Christmas? Do we want an insider? Someone who speaks our languages, responds to our hopes, feeds our dreams? Someone that we recognize as our own, a friend we'd invite over for mulled cider and Christmas cookies. Is that what we want? Perhaps. But mark this as well. The Christ who offers salvation through outsiders, who hangs around the ne'er-do-wells from nowhere, this Christ who began life headed across the border, this Christ who made heroic the hated foreigner Samaritan, this Christ hanging on the cross outside the city walls, this Christ born outside the inn, at Christmastide, he comes to his own country, this world, Winston-Salem, College Park Baptist Church, your life and mine, and he seeks a home. And I worry. I worry because among us, he may find himself homeless. I worry that in our effort to be more acceptable to society, that we've missed the true message of the Savior. That we've become a bride that Jesus wouldn't recognize. That we've become a body that is so atrophied from lack of exercise that we're no longer capable of doing the work that's needed. Oh, friends, my heart, your heart, should be truly the place where Jesus feels most at home. Amen? He's not meant to be homeless here. The great Christmas challenge before us is to give Jesus Christ a home in the place that he really cares about. That's in our hearts. Now, true, we should work to change the world. Don't get me wrong. We should. But that change comes most effectively when our hearts are changed first. When they become home to the one who came to what was his own, but his own did not accept him. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There's room in my heart for thee.
Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home was there found no room for thy holy nativity. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. Heaven's arches rang when the angels sang, proclaiming thy royal degree. But of lowly birth didst thou come to earth, and in great humility. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee.
If you're here this morning and you've not received the free gift that God offered, the love that he demonstrated through his son, Jesus Christ, if you've not received Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, I can't think of a more appropriate day to receive him than on Christmas Day. I'll be here as we sing the first Noel in just a moment. If you would like to talk with me about your relationship with Jesus, whether it's a first-time profession of faith, accepting him for the first time, or renewing your commitment to him, whatever your decision that you'd like to make on this Christmas Day, I'll be here to talk with you about that. If you'd like to join this church, it's a wonderful body of believers. We're not perfect. Well, I fully believe that we're striving to please our Lord and Savior. We invite you. There are many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you. But as we sing together, I encourage you, as you sing, be honest with God, do business with him, give glory to him. Let's stand to sing. Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, as we leave from this place, we pray that this Christmas would be different, that we would truly invite Jesus to abide in our heart, to illuminate our path, to direct our thoughts and our actions, so that others can see through the way that we treat one another and the way that we reverence you, what an awesome God you are. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.